Shalom Aleichem, on behalf of Teach 613, we welcome you to take 10 for Talmud. Menachas Chaf Gimel, Menachas 23a, pagination is 45. We'll start at the Mishnah at the beginning of a line, the last third on the page. Shtei Menachos Shalom Nikmetsu. You have two Menachos, those are the flower offerings, that Kemitza has not yet been done, Vinis Arvu Zu Bezu, and they got mixed with each other. That means that they were supposed to be in separate vessels, and they got mixed into one vessel. Says the Mishnah, the ruling is as follows. Im yochel likmotz mizubifnei atzma o mizubifnei atzma kesheros. If there still is enough distinctive presence of each of these menachos that you could obtain a kemitza separately for each one, then they'll be kosher, because you could do the act of kemitza, and the fact that the shirayim, the leftovers that are going to be eaten by the kohanim, are mixed, is irrelevant. That's okay. Vim lav pesulos. But if you can't get the kemitza individually for each one, then they're going to be pasul. Now, in each one of these, it's going to be three cases. We're going to wonder to ourselves, as we always like to do, what is pashut, what is fairly understood, we could almost have anticipated that ruling, and what is the chiddush, like this really needs additional information in order to substantiate that ruling, and that's to a certain extent either what we're based on or what we're being taught. So over here, if you have two menachos that get mixed and you're still able to obtain a kemitza, even though the shirayim, the leftovers, are mixed, that seems to be a fairly mainstream ruling that it's still going to be kosher. The question, of course, is in the second part of the statement, and if you can't get a kemitza separately for each one, then it's pasul. I would consider that a bit novel, because had this been, for example, Choshen Mishpat, financial law, I owe the Mizbeach, so to speak, two fistfuls. I'll give you two fistfuls in total. That's what I owe you. But that's not really what's happening here, and that's why it's pasul. There has to be an act of kemitza on the mincha. And if they're mixed to the point that you can't get a verifiable kemitza of each one separately, then you're having a problem of fulfilling the words melo kumtso, taking a complete kometz. You're getting other things mixed in. We encountered this already. If salt would get mixed in, if lavona would get mixed in, you're not getting the authentic, precise kemitza. Not mole, not chaser, you're not too much, not too little, and that's why it's pasul. Let's move on to the second case in the Mishnah. Komet shenis arev b'mincha shalom nikmetza. If you have a komet, that means you successfully did the komet on a certain mincha, and then accidentally, perhaps, it got mixed in with a different mincha that has not yet had the kemitza done. You may have thought that the container was empty and you put the kemitza into it. Turns out there's a mincha in there. The rule is lo yaktir. You should not bring it on the mizbeach and burn the entire amount to make sure that I get the kometz burnt. You should not do that, even though one might argue that's the most logical solution. The mincha that's here that got a kemitza mixed into it is perhaps ruined, but at least if I just bring the whole thing up, at least the one that had its kemitza done should be kosher. I'll burn the kemitza. Lo yaktir, not allowed to do that. V'im hiktir, but if you did, zusha nikmitza olo labailim, the one that had the kemitza done and it then got mixed in, that's going to be kosher because it's intact. It's good. Its kemitza got burnt. V'zu shalo nikmitza, and the one that never had the kemitza done, lo ola labailim, does not fulfill the obligation of the owner, it's not considered kosher, even though in its totality it got burnt on the Mizbeach. But it never had a kmitza done, and therefore it's not going to work. Now, over here also, we could ask our question, what do I readily appreciate, and what needs explanation? So, in this case, I think the second part is fairly straightforward. The kmitza that was done is good, it's just mixed up, and I'm in a quandary what to do. If I ended up taking that kmitza with the entire mincha that it got mixed in and burning it, so yeah, the kmitza got burnt, that's great. And the other one never had a kmitza taken from it. So even though you burnt the whole thing, but this is not how much did you give to the mizbeach. This is about doing the avoda, doing the service properly. And you never did the kmitza. If you took an animal, you never did shechita. You just took the whole thing and dumped it on the mizbeach. So I'm glad you gave a lot to the mizbeach, but I'm not really glad because you didn't do what you were supposed to do. So that I think we can appreciate fairly straightforward. The ruling, though, of lo yaktir, that you weren't supposed to do that. If the kmitza gets mixed in with an un-kmitzad mincha, you're not supposed to burn the whole thing. Why not? Sounds like an easy solution to me. If I don't, they both get ruined. If I burn the whole thing, only the one that was never kmitzad gets ruined. But the other one is good. Why wouldn't I do that? And over here we have a concept which Rashi on the Mishnah, the commentary to Rashi, can be found on Chaf Beis Amud Aleph. Rashi on the Mishnah references a Gemara later on, Nun Zayin Amud Beis, that tells us that the pasuk lo sak tiru, you shall not burn, kevan shemi menu isha lashem, once something has the part that's meant to be brought on the Mizbeach, all other parts that are not meant to be brought on the Mizbeach are not supposed to be brought on the Mizbeach. And that's where this is coming from, that if you have a mincha that has a designated part called a kmitza that's supposed to go on the Mizbeach, there's actually a prohibition. You're not supposed to bring other parts of that mincha on the Mizbeach. On a hashkafic level, I think there's an intriguing lesson that as much as we pay tribute, so to speak, to Hashem and put on the Mizbeach the dedicated portion to Hashem, but Hashem is also in the very mitzvah acknowledging that there are other participants, there are others that we're paying attention to. And I don't want you to have them forego their portion. If it's a portion that's meant for the owner, if it's a portion that's meant for the Kohanim, don't put it on the Mizbeach. Everybody should get their due credit. I'm reminded of a story. Rabbi Yaakov Kamenetsky once visited a community, and he was a celebrity. They were so happy with him, and everything was about the Rosh Hashiva, and he's here. And at one of the activities, a siyum was being made, and the coordinator calls out, Rabbi Yaakov will now make the siyum. And because of all the fuss that was going on, Rabbi Yaakov turned and said, no, I don't think so. I'm not the one who did the learning, and I should not be the one to make the siyum. And they had not meant to call Rabbi Yaakov Kamenetsky Rabbi Yaakov in public as a way of calling him up to the podium. They would have said Rosh Hashiva. What they meant to say was a person by the name of Rabbi Yaakov, who indeed had done the learning. But that concept, I didn't do the learning and I don't belong making the siyum, is an important concept as much as Hashem, wow, yeah, but the kmitza is the correct part. The other parts have to go to the right people. And that's considered a prohibition. And therefore we have this kmitza that gets mixed in to the greater whole of un-kmitzad mincha, and you're actually not allowed to bring the whole thing on the Mizbeach. If it was done, the Mishnah says, well, it's done already, so the Kmitza will work for its Mincha. Let's do the final case of the Mishnah. Nis'arev komtza bishireha, o bishireha shal chaverta. Let's say the Kometz gets mixed back into its own leftovers, or the leftovers of a different one. Lo yakter, you're not supposed to bring it. And that's the ruling that we just saw, that the parts that are not meant to be brought on the Mizbeach should not be brought. Vim hikter ola lebailim. And if you did bring it, so then it works. But it wasn't supposed to be brought. Now, if you look at Rashi over here, from the wide lines, climb up about five lines, you'll notice that Rashi writes, quite interestingly, Kivar pirashti lemaila. I explained this Mishnah previously, and indeed, in the Mishnah that's found on Chaf Beis Amid Aleph, Rashi, after explaining that Mishnah, continues and explains our Mishnah. And the working assumption, as Art Scroll Note 31 suggests, is that Rashi had the two Mishnayos as one in his manuscript, and it was one long Gemara. Later on, or in other manuscripts, the Mishnayos were separated, and therefore Rashi's commentary really would be more appropriate to be split, but that's how he had it, so that's how we left it. That's fairly logical, and it happens in different places that different manuscripts had the Mishnayos divided differently. The Gemara is all the same, but the Mishnayos were divided differently. What would be interesting to wonder is, if that's true, then why would Rashi even comment about it? Kivar pi Rashti. Either he had it as two different Mishnayos, in which case he would have done his commentary as such, or he had it as one Mishnah and would have no need to explain himself, why, because that's how it is. It's one Mishnah. So I'd like to suggest two possibilities. One possibility is that in Rashi's time, there were two versions, two types of manuscripts out there, two different approaches, like Minhagim, and therefore Rashi felt the need to write, my commentary on this can be found by the other Mishnah, because that's how my manuscript has it, as one long Mishnah. Another approach might be that we do find that there were people who were authorized to prepare Rashi's manuscript for dissemination. It wasn't publication at that time, but for dissemination. We have the Rashbam in Cheska Sabbatim in Baba Basra, where Rashi's commentary is not available, and the Rashbam, a grandson, filled in as necessary. And perhaps that's what's happening over here. The words Kivar Pirashti are actually like an authorized editor writing on Rashi's behalf to make it more understandable. They're writing in the first person, Kivar Pirashti, because they're doing it on behalf of Rashi. But Rashi himself did not have the Mishnayos separated, because if he did, he would have split his commentary. In any case, an intriguing question of exactly what layout Rashi had and why he would comment in such a way. Yeshe Koach, thank you for joining.